Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Takeoff, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Bryce, and today we're doing something completely different. Instead of my usual co-hosts, Emily, Travis, and Matt, I'm joined by their better halves, the P2s who put up with all of our points obsessions and quick award searches that turn into three-hour research sessions. So today on the podcast, we have Michael Fury, who somehow tolerates Emily's ski gear taking up half of their luggage space. We have my own wife, Alexandra Conway, who still thinks that there's at least a small chance that I'll go to jail for all of this. We have Ashley Brown, Matt's wife, who has become a de facto expert on points and miles and lawn care tips simply by being adjacent to Matt for a few years. And we have Maria Ayala, who often wonders if Travis loves her more than he loves United Airlines. And today we're going to be hearing all about their experiences of being P2s to the usual posts of this podcast, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our hope is that this episode will help all you listeners navigate your relationships with your own P2s, so please consider sharing this episode with them. Or better yet, crack open a bottle of wine, grab a Bluetooth speaker, and enjoy listening to this together as some sort of weird points and miles date night experience. That sounds fun to me at least, but before we dive in, a couple quick reminders. If your P2 is new to the world of points and miles or anyone else listening to this podcast, you can check out episodes 1 through 6 of the show to learn the fundamentals. You can also check out our Facebook group, now over 394,000 members as of like an hour ago. Ask questions, invite your P2s, just come in and have fun. But without further ado, we want to hear from the P2s. We want to get to it. So before we get into some of the questions from our listeners and all that, let's start with some quick introductions. You just tell us your name, how long you've been in putting up with your P1/been into points and miles, and some other fun thing that comes to mind. Could be like the most ridiculous points related thing that your P1 has ever done, the biggest like eye roll comment, the worst trip you've ever taken, biggest mistake they've ever done. Like, we're here to air all the dirty laundry. So let's, on my screen here, I see Ashley first. So Ashley, floor is yours.
So I am Matt's wife. We have been married for 12 years. And I would say it has been a journey of him going through points and miles. And now, you know, things that used to seem crazy are just kind of like, well, that's just Matt doing his thing and taking us on great trips.
The great trips is the part that like has to happen. Otherwise, none of it works, right? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you, Ashley. Who wants to go next? Someone, feel free to just jump in if you like.
I'll jump in. So I'm Maria Ayala. I'm Travis's wife. Very lucky to be so. We have been together for 10 years and married for 7 years. And one of the craziest things that we've done recently with respect to travel, I won't go into the Antarctica trip. I think everyone on the podcast has heard many times about the Antarctica trip. I don't think as many people know about the weekend trip to Vietnam that we did a few years ago. That was a really, really interesting one. Some last minute availability opened up, but we had to depart originally from Vietnam, come back and do a 4-month layover in the United States to catch our flights back to the Maldives on the way back. So a weekend in Vietnam is probably the craziest thing that we've done.
I hope that we hear more to that story here on the episode. I think I briefly recall some of the basics, but that's awesome. Thank you for that. Who's next? Michael, Alexander, jump in if you're ready.
Sure, I'll hop in. I'm Michael. Emily and I have been together 11 years now. My ridiculous story is nowhere near a weekend trip to Vietnam, but I would say the most ridiculous thing Emily's ever done points-wise was on our honeymoon, we were eating breakfast and she just casually goes, "Hey, I've got a surprise for you." And I was like, oh no, what is this? And she was like, "I booked us a trip to Australia for next year," just casually while I was asleep in bed, she went ahead and just booked a trip to Australia, which ended up being incredible. So I would say that's probably the most ridiculous thing Emily's ever done points-wise for us.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, it was amazing. I was like, what is this? And then she told me, I was like, oh, this is fantastic. Great to start the day.
And fun fact, we overlapped by about 4 or 5 hours. So we actually got to see Michael and Emily in Australia.
Yeah, had an avocado toast and a coffee. It was great.
Right. Was that the first time the two of you met in the real world, if you will?
Maybe.
I don't remember. It might have been. Yeah.
I think, yeah, probably. Yeah. Now that you mention it. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Alexander, how about you?
My name is Alexandra Conway. Bryce and I have been married for 11 years and together for a lot longer than that. Gosh, I think the first thing that comes to mind is we've lived 1,000 lives as far as points and miles. So we went from booking, you know, trips for a three-day weekend, and we'd go to Paris, we'd go to Amsterdam. Every Martin Luther King Day weekend, we would go to Europe because our biggest hurdle was days off. You know, we were young, married, no kids. And then how that's evolved to now we have three children, we've taken them all over the world. And so just kind of the different lives we have lived when we can hit the ground running by ourselves versus when we have the kids. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful ride.
So Alexander, is this your way of saying that you don't want to take the kids to Europe for a three-day weekend? Because that sounds like tons of fun.
I don't think anyone would sleep the whole time. It might be fun. But yeah, we're a little lighter on our feet when we go by ourselves. It's been Indeed. A while since we've done that. I mean, we were young. I don't even know if that would be fun anymore.
I agree with you. I'm glad to be on the same page there. So I want to go around the horn again here and just hear kind of, when did you first realize that you were like, you know, dating, married to a points and miles addict? Like what do you remember about kind of those initial times when your partner was like, hey, I found this thing called points and miles. What were your initial thoughts? Did you think that it was a cult? Surely I'm guessing a lot of you felt some feelings of skepticism, but take us back to those first kind of few moments or days, if you will, and try to put us in your behind your eyes and tell us what that looked like. And feel free to dive in, anyone who's ready to do so.
Well, I remember the first points and miles trip Bryce ever booked was senior year of college spring break. And he did a guy's trip where they went to Panama City Beach and then Vegas because Bryce like opened a card and, you know, jumped in. And I remember thinking like, okay, but you didn't talk about points and miles all that much. I feel like it didn't become a thing. Kind of felt like we did this alongside you starting the business. So that was kind of, and then it was this like, hey, we're going to Paris for this three-day weekend and we have to take all these videos and we have to like do all these things. And like those videos, if they ever came out of hiding, are probably very embarrassing. We thought we were like, you know, travel blogging and it's hysterical. But yeah, we always on our trips, we always had to like document a whole bunch of stuff. I'd take pictures of all of my food, like, because it was kind of in tandem. And that's really like, yeah, my first couple of years of grad school, I remember this became a thing. And it was me begging, like, and pleading for more time off. We would like leave work an hour early to catch flights. So that was kind of the craziest thing. People were always like, you're going to Europe for 3 days? I'm like, yeah, like, this is just kind of what we do because we could. And I'm so grateful that we did it. But that's kind of when I first remember that taking off and then going to Target and Walgreens and all of the gift card things. I didn't even know exactly why we were doing that. I was just told, I need you to go get these gift cards. And, you know, this
Sounds
Target
like
knows...
Sounds like scam text, right?
Yeah, I was like, this Target knows me, so they're not going to give you too much trouble because they've already done it. And like certain people at the register were like, okay, yeah, I know what you're doing. And other people were like, what? You want what? So...
Yeah. Do you remember at all about like how you felt? Like, were you ever kind of skeptical? I know you asked me multiple times, usually sarcastically, but sometimes not. Like, is this legal? Like, is someone going to show up at our door and ask, like, is Bryce here?
For
like,
sure.
Do you remember anything about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I felt that way for years. For years, I thought, like, any second now, the other shoe will drop. Or, like, any second now, you know.
There's a cop knocking at my door. I got to run.
Haha.
Yeah, I'm Bryce.
That this wasn't going to work, or that some negative thing would come out of the credit card. So my grandfather worked in banking his entire career, and he even pulled Bryce aside and was like, you know, son, you can't like all opening all these credit cards. You know, that's not good for you. You know, like just how different the idea of credit cards was. And so, oh yeah, for years and years, I was anxious about that. And I also don't love to fly. Fun fact about me. So definitely flying business and first helps incredibly. So I've become very spoiled in that regard. So points has helped us there. But I actually am a very, very anxious flyer for someone who has been all over the world.
You know, I think my family still thinks that this might be a scam or that there's some suspicious thing going on here. You know, all these amazing trips. I think they're in admiration and awe of the incredible things we get to see. But the number of times I get a family member who's deeply concerned that whatever we're doing is not above board, I'm like, I promise Travis has made an entire career out of this. You know, the 10X travel team is so incredible. And just listen to the podcast, learn about it, and maybe you'll open up to it. But, you know, here we are. I think we're always going to face that kind of skepticism.
The thing that Bryce told me that helped incredibly was think of this as extreme couponing, because I love that show. I love that show on TLC, Extreme Couponers. And that clicked in my brain, something about that, that you think of this as extreme couponing. You're using coupons, you're stacking them together, you're figuring out this map, and it does take a lot of time and effort. That made me feel better. That put it into terms that I understood, I guess.
You know, Matt was an extreme couponer.
I love that.
Most people who come into this hobby have some other similar hobby that they're coming from, where it's like, hey, I have
I've heard that too.
Approach. Yeah. So I want to hear more about that, Ashley, as well. So I'm putting like a thumbtack in that one to come back to it. But can you tell us next, Ashley? So you're with Matt, the extreme couponer. Yes. He finds points and miles. Yes, like, how did you feel through that process?
Hundreds of bottles of Listerine in the basement, and you know, all the couponing happening. But no, we had friends that had kind of dabbled in points and miles, so I was, you know, familiar with it. He had, you know, used points and miles to some degree growing up with his parents. But I think for me, it was just the, like, all of a sudden he's in this Facebook group and he's just talking to all these people on Facebook. And then I'm like, oh, who's this Bryce guy? What's going on? And it was all from, you know, he clicked on an ad and he found the Facebook group when there were like 1,000 members, I think. It was quite small at that point. And I was like, wow, he's spending a lot of time talking to these strangers and I don't really know what's going to come of it. But, you know, then we started booking flights for free and I was like, oh, okay. I'm cool with this Bryce guy. I can get behind this. So
yep.
That's what our group chat is called. We met from a Facebook group.
Yep.
Facebook ad. Yeah.
Facebook ad.
And we saw the screenshot. I think Matt like reshared it and like added a comment like, I should really look into starting this sometime from like 2016 or something. And it's like, we got to frame that thing now.
It was the picture of us in Thailand, right? With the tiger.
Yes, yeah. It was that one. And I think, didn't Travis also find the group from that same ad?
And Emily, I believe. I think so, everyone did.
Emily found the Thailand trip, which I think we tried to like emulate.
Right?
Yeah, we did. We did. Yeah. I mean, I guess I offhand at some point had said like, oh, I'd love to go to Thailand or like Southeast Asia. Don't even remember saying it. Next thing you know, Emily is like, oh, I've joined this Facebook group. We're getting all these points, you know, get this credit card, do this. And I was like, all right, like, cool. Why are we going
if I'm
to
hearing
Thailand?
You right.
She just makes so dreams you, come
she
true.
Probably, she does.
I
she
love
probably
it.
Like searched Thailand or something, and then that's what probably triggered the ad. So therefore, I think that you might have gotten Emily into points and miles with that comment.
In a roundabout way, yes. I can take full credit for that, obviously.
And everything thereafter, of course.
Yeah, everything. So you're welcome, audience, for Emily. But it was kind of wild. I was just like, wait, we're doing what now? For no money, I guess. All right, this is great. Let's do it. And it was a fantastic trip. We had a plunge pool at one point. I was like, I don't know what that is. Like, cool. That's it. Our own little pool. But yeah, Thailand. Shout out you guys in Thailand.
Yeah. Now, for that trip, Michael, did you actively participate in earning points and miles as well? Or did she kind of do all the earning and then book for you?
I helped out very much P2. She said, just get this card, hit this spend. But I did zero, like, investigation into what I was doing. I just kind of trust Emily to steer me right. I call her the guru now because she just makes these insane trips happen, and she tells me what to do. I do it, we execute, and I get to travel the world. So I'm very happy with the situation.
Yeah, that's a perfect description of kind of like the ideal P2.
Yeah.
Like, props to you for that. And how was the Thailand trip?
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was like first time I had been to Asia and I was just blown away. I mean, the flights were a little long, and at this point we had, you know, flying economy there and back was a little tough on the way back. And I'll never forget when we got home, we were just dying to have a pizza, and we were living in New York at the time. So we like ordered a pizza from JFK to be delivered at our door. And it was like on our stoop when we got back, perfectly ready for us. It's just, so it worked out well. Lovely trip, but never forget that pizza.
Speaking of Thailand too, that was when we had to get creative because there was one seat of it. We split up on our flight. One of us, Bryce, flew business there. and I flew business back. And that is when I deemed that I will never judge anyone in an airport ever, because you get off that, you know, 14-hour flight and you have another like 9-hour flight and you feel like just death. And somehow it's worth it. But Bryce, what I was going to tell you is another thing that kind of rings in my mind about when kind of those like crazy eye roll points and miles stories is when we were on our honeymoon and you were like, oh, actually, we're on Good Morning America. Or oh, like, yeah. What was that? And they needed pictures. They need. And all of a sudden, there's a picture of me in my bathing suit in Hawaii on national news. And I was like, this is something like, and we remember you had to like stay up. We had a time difference because we were in Hawaii. And I remember that being a pivotal moment of like, okay, he might be on to something. Because, you know, yeah. at our honeymoon, we stayed at the Andaz. You know, we had a beautiful honeymoon, but we didn't utilize points and miles the way some people, you know, have done like over the top crazy honeymoons. You know, we went to Hawaii because we were already in California where we got married and it was lovely. But yeah, not to the extent we'd probably do it now with the kind of points that we have now. I mean, it was early days.
Yeah, that was, I forget how it even happened, but got found by Good Morning America. They were like, went and filmed a piece like 2 weeks before our wedding. And then I get an email like when I'm on the honeymoon, they're like, hey, like that piece is done. It's going to like air tomorrow. Can you send us a couple quick pics of y'all in Hawaii? Because we want to like add it to the piece. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And I kind of just sent like a few recent photos. And then after like sending it to the editor, I like realized, oh, wait a second. Like didn't even like clear that with Alexandra. Like that's going to go on national news. Like, and then was sitting there on the beach. Like we were just sitting in two lounge chairs. I had open like Google Analytics, like real time, and just watched like website, real time traffic, like 9 visitors. And then 512 and then 10,500 and then 100,000 just boom straight up for just, I don't know, like 10 minutes and then just straight back down off the cliff. So yeah, that was fun.
Points and Miles has been around in some pivotal moments of our lives.
It has. It has. I'm curious to hear from Maria here on kind of origin story. I know Maria, you in your career, you have a very like pragmatic, these are the rules, understand everything, like focus, which oftentimes we see is difficult for folks to get into Points and Miles because you kind of have to entertain what's wild. And like, it's like someone telling you, like, you can actually lose a bunch of weight by eating an entire cheesecake every day. It's like, pff, no chance. So can you walk us through like those early days for you? What were your concerns? What questions did you have? And like, was there any aha moment like we just heard about like Thailand or kind of first trips and such that really got you over the edge?
Well, I just assumed that y'all were going to throw it over to me when there was a mention of extreme honeymoon, you know, and just one of these yes. really outlandish, crazy things. I think lots of people who have listened before know that Travis actually got into Points and Miles in part because of planning our honeymoon. And so the thing that I tell everyone is that, you know, I have made Travis into who he is in all things in his life. And that includes his incredible career with 10X Travel, because he would not have any of this if I had not demanded that we go to the Maldives for our honeymoon.
So demanding to go to Asia is by far yeah. the best trigger point to get people into this hobby is what I'm hearing.
It's a yeah. move.
And look at the amazing things that it results in, right?
Exactly.
Like the incredible, incredible situation that we're in now. But no, I mean, so I definitely understand, like, I am a lawyer by trade. So that's my day job. Very type A, very hesitant to actually lean into risky things, you know, want everything to be perfect and organized in a certain way. And I think Travis approached me a few months before our wedding and essentially said, hey, I can get us to the Maldives round trip, first class, you know, fly the Etihad apartments, get to stay 10 nights at the Park Hyatt Maldives. Beautiful, amazing, incredible trip. But you have to give me your social security number and just let me ball out on credit card points for the next months, just full faith. And I let him do it. And we had an incredible honeymoon. It was so amazing. But I mean, it really, for me, it all comes down to I had already agreed to marry him. So I already trusted him. And I just let him run with it and have the freedom to achieve incredible things.
Points and Miles. True testament of marriage and trust.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, Maria, did you what sorts of questions were you asking to Travis, like, to get that permission? I'm guessing it wasn't just like as quick as what you just described, like, oh, yeah, sure, that sounds good. Or maybe it was, but What were your kind of initial concerns there? Did you like sit down and have like a little chat? Like, all right, here's my position. I have to know these things. Or was it just like a trust thing?
I mean, Travis always comes into those conversations prepared, right? So he's kind of done his research. He clicked through the Tiger ad and, you know, had been lurking in the Facebook group when it was much, much smaller than it is now. But kind of the tract that I think a lot of people take when they come into Points and Miles, which is, I'm going to observe for a little while. I've, you know, learned more about this and I'm really interested. I think I can make this actually happen. I can make this into a real thing. And then he just asked, are you okay? Can I jump onto this and really try to see if this is something that we can do? And I asked very few follow-up questions in retrospect and, you know, really did not do much due diligence, but I trusted that Travis knew what he was doing. And so I just leaned in and I said, yeah, go for it.
So yeah, really, it feels like it is all about trust. Like it's so incredibly rare that we hear stories where like I got my P2 on board by having a 2-hour conversation, which I answered logically and explained things. Like there's no amount of kind of explaining that's going to get someone to a point where like, yep, I see the whole picture and there's definitely no concerns here. So for other P2s listening, it does come down to trust. Of course, you see the evidence of it working for hundreds of thousands of people now just with 10X alone, but do know that there's almost certainly not going to be that point that you reach where it's like, okay, I've asked all the questions and now I'm ready to go. Like that's an infinite process. You have to just kind of dive in at some point.
I was more difficult in the beginning. Like you'd say like, okay, I'm going to open this card and I'd like backpedal like, no. Like you had to convince me. I mean, I never told you like no, but yeah, I remember every time you mentioned opening another card, I was like, really?
Do you remember what I said that got you on board most of the time? Because I do. At least I think
no.
I do.
What?
It was, you mentioned that we, on our trip to Thailand, one of us flew business each way and one flew economy. And I would always tell you, and it was truthful, this card is the difference between economy and business in the next trip. And you were like, sure, where do I sign up? So kind of dangling the carrot a
little bit. Because I'm actually a very fearful flyer. So that does help. But
for me, Travis puts it in a totally different context. Anytime I refuse to use a shopping portal, he says, I'm going to put you in economy. So it's a little bit of, I think it's more of
it's a threat.
It's stick, not carrot in that instance. But, you know, it works the same.
I'm the one that remembers to use the shopping portal. Matt doesn't use them. He forgets. Mm.
And you need to get your stick out as well and say, I know. I'm going to book you in economy.
Did you do that?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk about that here a little more later in the show. But I'm curious on this next part, and I want to hear from all of you. How much do you actually understand about kind of what your player one does from a points and miles standpoint? Like said in a much more morbid way, like if all of us podcast hosts were on a flight that went down, we're just suddenly gone. Do you feel relatively confident that you could kind of pick up where they left off? Do you understand basic concepts? Or is it just completely like, tell me what to do and I'll fly economy?
Probably want to get on another plane.
That's a good point.
Yeah, true, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, what a morbid way to say that.
Amtrak points, you know.
I know nothing.
I know more than I think I know because I think I've been hearing it for so long and like, I know what card I need to get into this lounge or like, I know, okay, this is the card that, you know, most people get when they're starting, but like, have I taken the course? Sorry, I haven't. But I feel like I kind of have just by being married to Matt, like,
oh, you got the extended, like, uncut version.
I hear all the things. Yeah, so I don't know. I will say as you know, Matt has booked a surprise trip for me before. I think he's talked about it before. And I always said, I wish I could surprise him with a trip, but I don't know how. Mm-hmm. So we did try one time. And he said, okay, you know, this is where we have points, you know, look into the portal, get ideas of where, and then when you have an idea, you can talk to Travis and Travis will walk you through it and you can do it and you'll be able to surprise me. And I was like, okay, I got this. So I started looking, I found a place, the same island we went to on our honeymoon. So I was like, okay, this would be great. Like, this looks like a great place. Kind of pulling everything together to talk to Travis about it. And I go back to the website and I like start looking through pictures again. And something makes me start reading the captions on these photos. And that's when I realized that I was about to book us at a nudist resort and had no idea.
Whoa.
I heard this. I was like, and that's it. I'm not asking Travis. I'm not planning anything. It's it is what it is. Matt can keep surprising me, and I'm clearly not cut out for this.
Trust your guru.
Travis would have been, this is what they're into.
I mean, sure. Yeah. Like,
he would have been totally cool with it.
He would have showed up.
Like, would he have told me if I didn't notice?
Absolutely not.
Or would he have just been like, I guess that's what Ashley wants.
He might have thought you're into that. You know,
yeah, like, right. No, I think he would have just booked it. Matt has helped me book stuff for Bryce. So, like, I've asked Bryce before, like, yeah, if you die, what do I do with all of this? Because I truly don't know. And his response is usually like, talk to Matt and Travis. So that's, you know. But I know enough to, like, you're right. I know certain, you know, the number one cards that are recommended, like, maybe I do know more than I think. But I have floated stuff past Matt, like, when I wanted to surprise Bryce with, like, a hotel night for Father's Day, stuff like that. Because I'm like, hey, what if he has a free night certificate? And the last thing I want to do is waste it on a hotel in Columbus, Ohio, when, like, that also works at the Andaz Maui. So, like, I know enough to not mess up. So, like, Matt had helped me try to, like, A, crack into the account, because I don't even know where our points are. So, like, doing stuff like that. So I know how to utilize my resources, but I know very little. Like, Bryce just helped me book a flight with my best friend to Rome. And I'm like the middleman, because I'm just like, you know, she does points and miles and she is really good at it. She's been word searching and like looking for itineraries that fit, because we both have little kids that fit our needs. And I'm over here like, okay, I'll text Bryce. Like, so I know very little about points and miles, but where I pull my weight is our children. And I pack everyone. I have fun stuff on the plane. If you ever want to do a podcast on awesome kid travel, I'm your girl. But as far as getting there, not me.
It can be a little hard to lean in, because we are essentially dealing with like the NBA players of points and miles, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think
Which player am I? LeBron, right?
Probably LeBron, yeah. Okay, I would definitely say LeBron.
Yeah, 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 you're right.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, the thing for me, I think I echo a lot of what Ashley was saying, in the sense that I feel very confident that I can give the elevator pitch for points and miles in my sleep, upside down, underwater, right? Just very, very confident that I can explain exactly what this is, how it works, what the benefits are. I can answer the common pitfalls. You know, I have all of those responses essentially memorized at this point. What I don't feel confident in doing is identifying the trip that I want to take and then actually spending our points without checking with Bryce, Matt, Travis, Emily, someone to give me assurance that I am not just absolutely getting a horrible value or just completely draining our points for a terrible redemption, right?
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of what we deal with. So I think, similar to Alexandra and Ashley, like, I know I have the experts at my disposal. I utilize the experts that we have.
Yeah. Piggyback off everything you guys just said. I think the way I describe what I have learned about points and miles is I've just, like, osmosis. I've just kind of taken it in and learned as, like, Emily's explained things to me, or we take a trip and she's like, oh, we got to do this, this, and this. And you just kind of learn. I think I could earn the points on my own. And same thing as everyone said here. It's just like, we have these experts at our disposal. So, like, I don't want to, like, misuse the points, because I understand, you know, earning them is half the battle, and then actually deploying them in the most effective way is also a major part of this, to be able to, like, retain your points and make the best use of them. So I know, like, what am I going to do that, like, Emily can't do? So I really just let her handle most of that. But definitely have the elevator pitch down. I mean, as everyone here can probably attest, and all my friends and family, I could talk to a wall on vacation. I'm a chatty person, so we go on vacation and people are like, oh, how'd you get here? And I'm like, well, what do you like to know? 10X travel. And I'm just, you know, give the whole elevator pitch. So, it's definitely a learning curve, and I haven't learned the back half of it and haven't taken the course either, unfortunately. But yeah, it's the guru just gets it done, and I'm along for the ride. But osmosis has taught me a lot. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of my friends involved as well, because they're like, dude, how do you go on all these really awesome trips? And I'm like, points, miles. It's really not that hard to kind of dip your toe in, see if you like it, you know, and then explore it a little bit more. And If it's something you like, it can really take you some amazing places. And we've been incredibly blessed to travel around the world with it.
And that's what I tell friends too, is like, you don't have to do these crazy redemption. Like a lot of times, like our friends are opening a card to be able to go to an out of state wedding, you know, like that kind of stuff, like taking a small opportunity that they would normally get to have. And it's been, I mean, I've been very grateful. We have gotten, you know, a phone call in the middle of the night that we had to fly home for a death in the family. And to have that bank of points, like I'll forever be grateful for that.
I'm curious to hear, you know, Maria's response to that kind of start slow, you know, her first points and miles trip being first class to the Maldives at the Park Hyatt. Like, I almost feel bad for you, Maria. You, you started right at the top and everything from there is like, wasn't as good as the first time.
Well, on the one hand, I think that that is reflective of the way that we do everything. We're always just pushing ourselves to do the highest and best thing first. But I will go back and say that is not actually our first trip that we ever took with points and miles. It is very, very close. But the first trip that we ever took was actually my graduation. After I graduated from law school, took the Texas bar exam. I remember telling Travis so clearly that I just could not make any other decisions. Like all decision points had to be removed from my thought process because I was completely burnt out and could not make any other choices. And so Travis planned a wonderful trip to Maui after I finished the bar exam. And that was our first trip at Points and Miles. And the way that I always tell people is just open one card, do a two-card trip, you know, go to 10xtravel.com, read one of the articles. And then once you actually are at the gate and you get on the plane and you realize that it is real and no one is coming to stop you and to say, haha, joke's on you, you know, we turn back around and leave the airport before we arrest you. I think that is the light bulb moment for so many people. And so I just try to encourage people. Like, I know that the unicorn redemptions are so incredible and they're flashy and they are wonderful, having done them myself many times. But just take that first trip. Just try it and see if you like it. You can always stop. You can close a card later on. You know, you can back away from the hobby if that's what you want to do. But just give it a try and open yourself to that opportunity.
Yeah. And I think to build on that, too, as Alexander's kind of mentioning, I think a lot of people make a mistake of kind of looking at this hobby. They look right to the folks who are doing it at a very high and advanced level. And they say, I don't know if I want to do X component of what they do. It's like, I don't want to open a bunch of cards. I don't want to deal with like redeeming points. Like, well, yeah, neither do I, but I'm willing to do it because it gets me this other thing. So you always have to kind of take that holistic view of virtually everyone who you see, including the host of this podcast, who's doing this on a high level at one point thought these same things. But as you just do it one at a time, as Maria just described for us, you start to realize, oh, okay, like I didn't think I want to do that, but I'm definitely willing to do that if the seat lies flat. And also I love the first, what I thought was the first redemption for Maria, you know, Maldives first class. It's like, oh no, we had something much more modest. We went to Maui. Like, okay, we came down just a little bit, but like we're so far from, yeah, we went to like Indianapolis, you know, for 2 days or something. So I love that. I'm curious, how would each of you kind of describe the role that you play today, like in broader travel and points and miles strategy? Do you have, or like, what does your level of input look like in terms of where you're going, when you're going, or like point strategy? Like, what does a month to month look like in the life of a P2 today?
I think a lot of mine involves very kind, lighthearted threats in terms of choosing our next location. So I think a lot of y'all know that we are headed to Lake Como at the end of July. So we've got that trip is coming up, and it might have already happened by the time that you're actually listening.
Wait, how far away podcast will they be from us?
Como's way north. We're in Sicily at that time.
We're in Sicily, yeah.
We're going to be in the same country, but not in our current country. Interesting.
Cool. Yep.
But so for me, it really has just become more of helping to identify, you know, what is our next big trip that we're targeting. A lot of that is already set because Travis does a lot of really extreme diving, and that kind of guides where we're potentially going. So for this trip, you know, we're adding Lake Como onto a diving trip that he's doing in Ireland. We're going on the front end to Lake Como. But, you know, that little threat of, if you don't get me to Lake Como by next summer, see what happens. Sometimes that just helps guide us onto our next adventure and help strategize in the long run.
It's a good counter to like, I'll make you fly economy too. Like, I like this balance that you have going
always
on
with
there.
Love. Always with love.
Always with love.
You guys have two sticks over there.
Yes.
That's
Yeah. How about the rest of you? What is your kind of engagement or like participation look like in the hobby today?
I mean, I collect the points.
Yeah.
There we go.
But I would say we kind of have a list that we work off of, like, of places that we want to go. And then it is kind of a matter of what fits into that the best, which I think is a very unique way of traveling. So we went to Europe last month, and Matt had booked the flights to Europe. We had flights booked to Frankfurt, and those were booked in the fall. We were like, we'll figure it out. Well, then April came. We were going in May. April came, and we're like, where are we going? To Europe. So then we just kind of sat there and looked at it and was like, okay, well, these are the places we want to go. Which one makes the most sense for this trip? And we kind of built the trip around that, which is a very backwards way of doing things. But it was, hey, we have this good availability. Like, this is going to get us there. Since that's where it's getting us, where does that make the most sense? And he just handles like the flights and then, and usually hotels. And then I handle the like on the ground logistics of what we're going to do when we get to those places. So it just kind of changes how we plan trips, I would say. And then that one was one where we decided, okay, we're going to do Austria and then we're going to do Sweden, which normally you wouldn't pair those two places together, but we wanted to fly a specific seat home. And that seat home was from Stockholm to Helsinki. So, and then back to the US. But then it's just different things happen where, like, the day before we were leaving for the trip, Matt said, you know, since we're doing Austria, Munich makes way more sense. Like, we shouldn't be going to Frankfurt. So the morning before we were leaving, he said, hey, I changed our flight completely, our starting airport, our ending airport, everything. And it's like, okay, sounds good. I don't bat an eye at it anymore. But I think originally when this started, I would have been like, I don't know, this seems crazy. Are you sure we should do this?
Because the cops were on to you, right? They knew what flight you're on.
It's like, why were we starting in Greensboro and going to Frankfurt, but now we're starting in Charlotte and we're going to Munich? And why are we coming home through Dallas, but we live in North Carolina? But we're having dinner with our friends in Dallas, so that's perfect. So, you know, just all the logistics of it, but they work.
That's exactly how we used to plan our trips, too. It was like, let's look at award availability. Let's look and see, you know, what makes the most, let's let the internet tell us where we should go, kind of thing. Like, let's let the points determine where we should go. And hey, wherever we got to go was amazing. Like, wherever we got to travel and explore was wonderful. We do not do that anymore. So kind of to answer Bryce's question, we have three little girls. So I think we're the only ones here that have kids. And so our strategy now is very, very different. So our oldest daughter is 8 and a half. So we're looking at, like, you know, full-time school. She's going to be in third grade. So we have had to change the, okay, great, there's great award availability in February. We can't, you know, we're now, we focus our year looking towards our, what we call like a big family summer trip. So we're doing 6 weeks in Sicily this year. Last year we did 5 weeks in Greece. We protect that trip at all costs. So we've pulled back from, you know, club type activities that would be required in summer. We protect it. It's the by far the best thing that we do all year for our family. And then, you know, that being said, we look at things like Disney and we look at, so our strategy has changed quite a bit based on the kids. And we look at itineraries that are going to be better for the kids because our youngest is 2. So, you know, we got to look at, whereas we used to be able to fly and sure, let's leave at midnight, whatever, who cares? We can't really do that more. So we look at more ideal times. We spend more points to book flights that might be more ideal for the kids. So yeah, our pool of how many trips we take has lowered quite a bit, but we all are also looking at needing 5 seats places. So we spend way more of a chunk to go one place. And sometimes, you know, yeah, it's great to fly business with the kids, or so we thought, until Margo was afraid of her pod and slept. I think we have a picture somewhere, slept on top of me for 20 minutes on the way to Paris and no one slept. So sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But my role is giving full control over to Bryce as far as cards and points. And then I do all the, you know, the kid stuff, the packing, the thinking through, So, yeah.
Yeah. And after hearing some of these stories, I almost feel like I'm remiss as a P1 because you haven't yet had the wake up. Good morning. Here's a big trip I just booked that we just heard about from Ashley and Michael. So we're probably past the phase where that's likely to happen, but I'm going to try to make that happen if I can.
Oh, well, you've done an amazing job no matter what. But yeah, we're just in a little different phase than some of the big time redeemers because we can't, go to Bora Bora right now, things like that.
I think that's something that I admire so much about what y'all do and how you approach it though, because you have shown that it is still possible, right? And that, it takes an increased effort. You have a reduced amount of options that you can pull from. You have increased restrictions. It looks completely different than the way that you were doing it before. But the fact that you show that it is possible and that you can prioritize it and still do it, for me, is very inspirational. So I just want to say thank you to both of you for your continued efforts.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. The kids have learned so much. The kids travel phenomenally. Our children have done way better being stranded in airports than most adults do. And that's just, we try to keep it light and fun and always remind them like, hey, we're lucky to be able to go somewhere. We'll get there eventually. We showed up, we were stranded in Brazil. We showed up at our destination. All of our stuff was gone. But that's the stuff as a family we've really enjoyed. So travel has really given us that and built resiliency. We've learned a lot. We've, had to navigate. Our youngest used a walker for a while. And it was like, how do we do this now on a plane? Just navigating all of that stuff. And physical stuff. Kids have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I didn't see the award booking requests or like Friday brags in the group where it's like one solo traveler found like award space on first class to Japan, leaves tomorrow. It's like, I can just do it. I'm like looking like from the outside, like that meme through the window, just smiling like jealous.
Yeah, years ago there was like a great, I think Travis might have done this, the great redemption seats to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I'm 9 months pregnant. You can't go. And so, so we do like to live through the others in the group. That's actually been very fun.
I didn't get to go on that one either and wasn't 9 months pregnant, but good for Travis.
Yeah.
I think we need to insert another threat to just bring that back.
That's right. That's right. No, Travis, Egypt specifically, I think is always a little bit of a sore point for Travis because I was appointed as judge in Harris County in 2022. And we were actually supposed to be going to Egypt for Travis's birthday and literally had to cancel that trip last minute because I was being sworn in as the judge unexpectedly, which was a really incredible opportunity. But, he gives me a lot of flack for having to miss that trip and having to cancel it. But he took it by himself several months later, probably on that award availability that you're talking about. So
Egypt will always be there.
Yeah, he'll be
Judge Maria will not. Be there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to move on to like a few questions that we got from other readers in the Facebook group and in the comments. First, I'm curious to hear from all of you is what advice would you have to someone who is like becoming a P2, if you will, like almost to your younger self, but someone who's a little skeptical about this, they're hearing this podcast, is there like an elevator pitch or like typical piece of advice that you give to folks in situations like that?
I think going back to something we've talked about earlier on in the conversation is just trust your partner, kind of dive in head first. Don't know how to swim, but trust that your partner is going to throw you a buoy and not let you drown. And that's what I did and it's paid off in dividends. So, trust is probably the biggest thing. If it's there and you feel comfortable and you're ready to go, like just go for it. Jump in.
Water's warm. The seat's lie flat.
Water's very warm. Yeah, it's lovely. Perfect temp.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree. I wish in the very beginning I wasn't so nervous and hesitant. Like if Bryce was the balloon, I kept a short string if I'm the string. That would have been a lot easier had I just had let go sooner. But also as a P2, important advice because we see this in the group. Don't open a store credit card. Like very basic rules of like now at stores and I go, I cannot. My husband does points and miles. It shuts it down real quick. But yeah, don't give your P2 those very simple rules of kind of the big no-nos, like what not to do. Cause you wouldn't have known that, but don't open a store card.
We see it all the
it
time.
It is fun to pretend that you opened a store card. Always. Just to, like, see the reaction that you get. It's like, yes, but I saved $9 by doing this.
Of course.
Oh, we have to do like a candid camera of that situation. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, and I redeemed all your free night certs for the airport motel so that I could go and take a nap. So, yeah.
I think for me, kind of echoing what Michael and Alexandra said, it's not only trust, but you have to really know and be comfortable with your own finances before you're really, really diving in. Now, if you're opening a card or two cards and you're just dipping a toe in, maybe you don't have to be fully, fully understanding of all of your finances and really have a good handle on it, you know. But if this is a hobby where you treat this as just unlimited free cash available to you at all times, it is not going to go well. And so knowing yourself and trusting yourself and your own ability to manage your finances and do it in a way that is responsible is the only thing that allows you to really get value out of this. So you have to know yourself before you know your partner and can trust your partner as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. Kind of common thing that we see with folks getting in this hobby with P1 and P2 is that it does kind of force like a financial transparency across the entire household that might not have been there before. So if you have, especially if like you find points of miles, you get into it, but you're not the one who's kind of like the P1 of like the household personal finance, then it becomes almost like a layer within a broader conversation that, like, you know, could potentially have other like outcomes or impacts. So navigating that is not always the easiest thing. And I'm really glad that you said that. Anyone else for advice for other P2s who are listening to this or like, I want to do that. I want to wake up some morning and be told I'm going to Australia or whatever.
Just do it.
Just do it. Nike said it best.
It is possible. It is possible.
Yep. All right. Well, once you are on board and things are going well, this is the question I've been waiting to ask this whole time. What has been your favorite trip that you've taken so far on points and miles? Doesn't have to be like every aspect of it was covered with points and miles, but memorable flights, hotels, destinations, like what jumps to mind?
I would say probably our Australia trip. We did that with my parents and it was 3 weeks in Australia. And it was just something that like we would not have done if it wasn't for points and miles and all the places we saw and things we did. And that was one where, like Alexandra talked about on their honeymoon, like we were having to make sure we took pictures of all of the food on the flights and making sure we took pictures of the seats and all the things we did, because Matt wrote an article about that trip, which I think is still on the website, talking about how we did, you know, $30,000 trip for a couple hundred dollars or whatever. But I think that one was just like a wow, we did that big of a trip and it really didn't cost that much.
I would say one of the biggest kind of whoa moments for me was the first time in like business class or first class or something like that. Just kind of blew my mind that you can travel like that, you know, be able to actually get to your destination and feel refreshed and like feeling pretty good when I get here. And that was just wild. And, you know, I become a little bougie. And now I just, if I'm going across an ocean, I'm like, I got to lie flat. I got to lie flat. And it's like, if you had asked me, you know, 5 years ago, if that would be the case, I would have laughed you out of the room. So that was definitely a major kind of like breakthrough moment of like, wow, this is legit. This is the real deal. And I'm reaping the benefits and I love it.
One of my favorite kind of moments that most people go through in the points and miles hobby is when you have the first business or first class booking with like, you know, the fancy lie flat seats or pods or whatever, and you're boarding and you're having experience like Michael just described, and you look at each other and you both just do that like, are you seeing what I'm seeing face? Like there's champagne coming out before they even close the boarding gate. Like there's warm towels. Like, do you see what your seat can do? Like that moment is just everything.
Yeah.
And your vacation is starting at, like, and especially as a parent, like instead of being completely wrecked on the plane and you start the trip completely wrecked. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, and that's all points. I'd never flown first or business ever before that.
I had flown five times before I met Matt.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty good.
On points and miles and cash bookings.
No.
Stowaway.
No, his favorite things give me a hard time about is I did two international trips in college, and the one was to Greece and then one was to Japan. So for the Japan one, we flew Raleigh to Atlanta, Atlanta to Tokyo. And on the way home, we did the same thing. And you know, when you're getting off the, about to land, and they're making all the announcements that are like, you know, you can sign up for an account and collect miles from this trip. I was too tired and annoyed in the very back of the plane to deal with that. So I did not have accounts or collect any miles for any of those trips because I was like, why would I do that?
Little did you know.
And yep. Here we are.
Yep. Gotcha. So other like best trips, like highlights of your kind of points and miles career, if you will.
I was going to say that we took a really incredible trip to Australia, New Zealand last year. New Zealand was the only place that I've ever been where even the thought of having to leave New Zealand immediately brought me to tears. And so it was just so amazing to be able to fly on the longest flight that we have ever flown, direct flight Houston to Sydney in United Polaris. So we didn't have the shower on the plane, but we did have the lie-flat seats, and we're very, very comfortable and very well taken care of. But it just has opened doors for us that I could have never imagined. You know, Travis and I both really were always interested in travel, even early on when we met and first started dating. But I think Travis had been on one international cruise, and I had been back and forth to Playa del Carmen a couple of times, you know, with my family. And so we just never had the opportunity, and especially the stage that we were at in our lives and, you know, the financial opportunities that we had when we were young and first dating, like we would never have been able to see the amount of places that we've seen and just the incredible experiences that we've had without points and miles. So I've told Bryce a number of times, but I'm always just incredibly thankful for everything that 10X has done and just the incredible opportunities and the doors that it's opened for us.
I'm thankful that all of y'all's partners at some point apparently found our Facebook ad and that brought us here, right? So
the ROI was ridiculous on that ad.
I know, right? Yeah. But wouldn't be here at all without the other folks involved, and particularly the hosts and your partners kind of bringing it to what it is. But yeah, it is interesting that all of us seem to have kind of found points and miles kind of in a similar phase of life.
Yeah.
Like youngish, you know, like ability to kind of travel all over the place. You do see all the time where people will find this hobby like in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and then they have a hard time kind of letting go of that feeling of like, oh, I missed out for all those years. Like I didn't get those phases of life where I get to do the stories like we're telling about now. And there's always a little bit of sadness that comes to that. And I'm glad that I found it when I did. And I'm glad to hear that everyone else is in a similar boat.
Better late than never though. I mean,
oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, it's the best. I mean, I could sit here and talk about Australia all night. It seems like we're on the Australia Hype Train podcast, but it's amazing.
Now, yeah.
What's your favorite trip, Bryce?
Yeah, well, good question.
Here, I'm sitting here thinking,
you've been grilling us.
There's been different phases. Like Thailand was our first, like that was my first time we ever went anywhere for 2 weeks. And like we got our room was upgraded, and then that just felt unreal. But then it's like you look at Japan and safari and in South Africa, and like there's been so many things. And just like, but then watching our children, when you got that upgrade
from Italy first,
when Colette knew we are going Emirates first, because Bryce has like kind of educated her on like the different airlines and the different, that was cool. That was cool to see. Even though Margot barfed all over her pod, remember that? And like,
I was back in the bar.
It was absolute chaos.
I was told about it.
Yeah. It was like everyone was settled. And so he went back to the real bar. And it was like, then 2 minutes later, the baby wakes up screaming. Margot has thrown up because their awesome service just let her have chocolate and milk for hours on the plane. But they offered us the shower, you know, to get it was all fine. But now we look back at those experiences and it's funny. It's not exactly the same experience people are getting doing Emirates first, but we have a great story about it.
Yeah, I think it's hard for me to answer that question. Japan, I think ANA first was probably like or Emirates first, one of those, like the best true flight. But I really don't think that anything has matched the level of excitement as the first trips, like the first weekend in Europe, flying economy in the very back of the plane. Which is that feeling of like, wow, like I have 2 weeks of vacation a year, and I think like my take home pay after my paycheck and all taxes and stuff is like, you know, $50 a week or something. And here we are going like to Europe for the weekend all of a sudden. And that like acceleration in the hobby and like just complete transition in life to me was way more exciting than flying these like super premium products, which don't get me wrong, are a lot of fun. But nothing beats that first redemption high. Be chasing that the rest of our lives.
That was a really cool time in our lives, for sure.
Mm. Yeah. I'm interested to take kind of a slightly different path here on, you know, we've been talking about for the past few minutes, like just these ridiculous things we've done, right? I only fly over the ocean in economy. I'll threaten to put you in economy, or like, you know, Park Hyatt redemptions, right? This obviously sounds very out of touch to most people. And I'm sure all of you have been in situations here where that starts to feel a little awkward, like in social groups, happy hours, wedding tables, whatever. Like you almost feel like you have to kind of constrain yourself, like telling others about your trips, because if they only get snippets of it, they'll think that you're kind of an out of touch moron. So I'm curious, how do you kind of think about messaging this to like friends who are maybe loosely aware of what you're doing? How do you answer questions about like, you know, how do you travel so often? Or, you know, do you feel like this kind of spoils you? Like, how do you kind of deal with that dynamic? And Alexander, I'd be curious your take with that in kids as well. Cause we get a lot of folks who ask like, hey, how do I convince my kids that, you know, lie flat flying is not normal for them? Cause I still have a great answer.
I don't feel like we do have a great answer. I mean, it's the same way you would teach any kid about, you know, gratitude. And we talk about the, you know, opportunities that we have. But it is hard. I think you've told this story on the podcast before about how when Colette was very small, she asked, we were standing in line to pet a snake at the zoo. And she asked if Bryce had status here, which would mean we got to go to the line. So, you know, like a shorter line. You know,
you didn't have zoo status.
That's really shocking.
I mean, if it existed, I would have it.
Shockingly, yeah. She asked a lot of questions like that. Well, don't we have points? Can't we like, you know, kind of, can't we like, you know, get the better thing? So yeah, I mean, I explain to people, my husband does points and miles. He's a travel blogger. It's what kind of how this started. But yeah, there's no great response to the entitlement that your children can feel. I just feel like the more you travel and the more we expose them to different cultures and different places, the more they will naturally just see and respect others. Because I feel like the more we have traveled, the kinder your heart becomes just to the rest of the world. But yeah, I have not figured out a great way to explain that to them. They know we use points. They know that it's a luxury, but we're talking about the benefits of travel, because the more places you see, the more people you know. I just think the softer your heart is to the rest.
With the exception of gate lice or people who insist on asking you to trade seats when, you know, they had a middle seat and you had like business class seat. It's like, no, my heart has not softened for that. Quit that.
You know, I tried to trade someone. I was like, look, I have this middle seat and, you know, these kids are here. Do you want it? But they wouldn't trade me.
Yep.
They were my kids.
Was that me? Were you asking me? Yeah. Yeah. How about for the rest of you? Like when you're kind of happy hours, casual conversation, do you feel like you have to kind of limit how much you talk about like your trips and like the amazing hotels and flights and stuff? And how do you kind of engage with folks who are loosely curious or, you know, you feel that might be judging you in some way?
I really just lean into it because I have always known that I wanted to live an extremely bougie lifestyle, and I wasn't born into it. So I had to find a way to open those doors. And really, I don't feel any shame about it, because the opportunities that you have that I never would have had, you know, if it weren't for this hobby, if it weren't for this life, like I feel no shame about it at all. You know, and the thing that I always try to tell people is that I know that it looks like maybe we are the ultra wealthy that are able to travel to all these incredible destinations. I promise you we are not. I promise you it is just from points and miles, and that we have this incredible opportunity that we get to have. And I feel like it gives you the ability to speak a language that other people who don't have access to these kinds of things just don't get to speak. So in that way, I feel like it can be educational as well. But, you know, I'm never shy about the incredible opportunities that we have and taking full advantage as long as the doors open.
Yeah, I would echo that as well. I mean, it's like, I speak to it with pride. I mean, it's something we've put a lot of work into, a lot of effort goes into earning these points. And, you know, we've had some killer trips out of it. And, you know, I'm happy to chat about it and kind of explain, you know, like I said, what osmosis I've taken in, and I like the little I know. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to have an Emily. I recognize that. And, you know, not everyone gets to be a P2. I think we have the easier side of this whole journey. We kind of just tag along and do as we're told, and we get to journey the world in business class. It's amazing, right? And, you know, I love leaning into that and talking to people about that and like sharing our story because, you know, from my perspective, I think Emily and I are two pretty normal individuals, didn't grow up, you know, insanely wealthy or anything like this. And, you know, it's opened these doors to go have these trips. And my message to people is just, you can do it too. Like, take the course, you know, chat with Emily if you want to. A lot of my friends,
Emily's,
you know,
about to zoom in the background, like, no, don't tell them all to email me directly, Michael. That's gonna get over. Yeah.
Well, not everyone out there, but you know, when I'm chatting with people, I'm just like, you know, if you're a friend, family, somebody I'm close with, we're happy to just tell you our experiences, how it's worked for us, you know. And it might not work the same for every single person, but it's been great. So I don't really shy away from anything. I don't feel uncomfortable with anything like that because it's, you know, we've done the work to earn the points and take the time to redeem them in effective manners. And it is a lot of work. I recognize that too as the P2 who does a very, very minor part of it. Like, just like, hey, we should go XYZ. And then Emily's like, here's a spreadsheet. Let's make this happen, you know? And I'm like, okay. So I really kind of lean into that factor of just like, you can do it too. It's hard, but it's not impossible. And, if you just take a little bit of time, it's something anybody can learn. Anybody can kind of lean into. And, you know, I look at it from a place of pride. It's awesome. And we've done it. It's been great, you know? So I don't think there's any kind of taboo or like, oh yeah, no, we flew business class. So, you know, it is a little weird sometimes talking to people and you know, back home that are just like, you did what now? And I'm like, yeah, it was awesome, man. Like, get on the points train. I get, you know, the little elevator pitch, and then, yep, you know, we move on. So it's been great.
Yeah. You too, I do can like shower on an airplane.
Yes. I've never done that though. I don't know.
Come
if
on,
you've
Michael.
Taken We haven't taken one of these shower fights, so I might have to talk to Emily
and
after we finish
recording
this.
The floor is heated. It's so cool. You would think
in
it'd be
shower?
Really uncomfortable. You get out in the bathroom, the floor is actually heated. It was actually more comfortable, but you're really rushed. They like
also a much bigger bathroom than you
think
it is.
Yeah. It's like bigger than the bathrooms in our house.
Because we
like,
had to both go with one child. The way we had to like do it, and it was cool. But I agree with Michael. Like I do enjoy talking about it because it's like, what we have learned and gained from travel, I think the more people who can travel and learn about themselves and learn about places, the better. I think it makes everyone better in so many ways. The things that we have learned and resiliency and just other places and cultures and things you learn about yourself when you travel and your family are really cool. I think the more people that do it, the better.
Can I also just throw in, there's kind of an odd thing here. When you talk about resiliency, I 100% agree with that. I think nothing makes you more resilient than having to deal with travel, especially big international travel, and especially having to potentially travel by yourself. So I have a really good friend and coworker, Alma, who hates the idea that Travis will be on a separate flight because the award availability does not allow us to be on the same plane. That's actually one of my favorite things. I love getting to travel with my husband, to be clear. But, you know, having to be forced to navigate an airport in a foreign country by myself, you know, with delays, with cancellations, things go wrong, they go sideways, and Travis is on a plane over an ocean and can't help me with it. Like that, I feel like that has made me so resilient as a person.
For sure.
And has added so much value to my life. So I'm sorry, Alma, I'm going to keep flying by myself.
Yeah, having to figure it out. We lost power we were in a remote area of Italy, and so the Wi-Fi didn't work. Bryce had to literally drive a car in a foreign country while I stayed home with the kids to like a grocery store, something. He got candles because there was a really bad storm and we had no power. And I was like, this is possibly the beginning of a horror movie. But it was cool. Like at the same time, it was like, we did that. That's what our international family trip feels like. Is like we did that, and a lot of people look at us like we are completely insane.
The good news is being into points and miles, we're kind of used to that. The whole like look at us and think they're insane, you know.
But what our kids have gotten out of these trips is phenomenal. Also,
I want to expand on that question here in a minute, or actually next here. Before we pivot, we're going to ask a couple questions that are going to kind of pit you against your P2 here. So be ready. But I'm curious, how have each of you seen kind of like your approach to travel just generally change? Kind of like before and after points and miles, what's different now? What's good? What's bad? You know, I guess I'll start off by kind of answering myself. I think one of the biggest mindset shifts that's had a positive impact for me is that travel does not feel like something that is a super limited resource. So you don't have that FOMO feeling that causes people to do like, you know, 10 countries in 12 days kind of tours where like you're just kind of racing through checking boxes, you're exhausted, you're not even having fun at the Louvre, but you have to go because you booked tickets and you know you'll never come back. But when you have this kind of like opportunity mindset around points and miles, you can just go to places, do the things that you want to do, and you don't have that lingering fear of like someone at a buffet who just has to stuff their face because they paid for it, right? Like that's just been tremendously impactful to all forms of travel for me, even without points and miles. But I'm curious, how do you all view that kind of before and after?
I mean, my answer is exactly the same. We talk about this a lot. It's just our style of travel. It could be because, you know, we're older now, we've got kids, but the slowing down. Like we went to a beautiful place in Portugal, which was known as the end of the world. And our guide said, this is the worst weather we have ever had on any of my tours. You couldn't see off the cliff. Like it was just complete dense fog. And it was like
Ashley's Instagram pictures, from what was it, Germany?
Yes, I loved that.
Like here's a picture of a cloud that's supposed to be a beautiful valley.
But it's easy to let it go. It was kind of like, well, okay. But when we were at the Cliffs of Moher, where it's usually raining and awful, we had the best weather they had ever seen. So you can let those things go because it's not like, oh my gosh, we've paid so much for this and we've saved. And it does allow you to be a little bit more easygoing. I'm not always the most easygoing person, but that style. I will say, though, I don't love how it has made me a bougie traveler, like economy, you know. And our kids have loudly said, Colette has said, what is first class about this? On one of those like inter-Europe where they just have like the middle seat blocked off, when she was like very boisterous about this was not up to snuff. So what the word?
I had the same thought though. So I totally understand, you know, exact thought.
It's less cute when we say it though, right? Like it's a little more entitled from an adult, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the same with like the Germany thing. You know, we did this. It was the one place Matt wanted to see on that trip, and we couldn't see anything. The visibility was about 20 feet, but we were able to kind of laugh it off and be like, well, I'm sure we'll have the ability to come back here at some point if we want to. So there's less pressure of like, I feel when we did some of our early on trips before points and miles where we were using money for it, it was, okay, we have to see this, because that's what you see at this place, and we may never come back to this place. Versus now, it's like, okay, well, we've been to Paris 3 times now, so we can, you know, do things more leisurely while we're there, or we're going to go to this city, and this time we'll focus on this stuff, but we'll probably get to go back there again, or maybe we'll get to see it again during a Christmas market or something like that. So it makes it less stressful, I think.
I think for me, it really kind of shifted the goalpost, right? So I felt the same way about the opportunity to be able to return to cities that you would otherwise have been a once-in-a-lifetime trip is amazing. But it really changed what I saw as a realistic goal for us to achieve in travel. And so specifically, the one that I'm thinking of is we were able to visit all 7 continents before we were 35. And cool. I think that is a really incredible thing that I never would have anticipated to be a realistic goal for us to achieve. And so instead of it becoming, oh, I want to be able to summer in Europe every summer, or, you know, I want to be able to take 2 big international trips a year, and that is the new thing that I want to do, we were able to set a really outlandish goal of making it to all 7 continents, and then we were able to achieve it. And now we're able to do it again if we want. You know, that's just something that I don't even think is on the radar for most people.
That's awesome. You know where I've always wanted to go, Bryce and I were just talking about this. From the beginning of Points and Miles, I said, you know, I really want to see Mount Rushmore. I don't know why. I mean, it's in like North Dakota. Like,
don't.
I don't.
Nope.
No. I know, and I've heard that.
I'm here to tell you, it's a waste of your time. Don't go.
I just kind of want to go. Like, what a cool thing to see. But then we've looked into it. Then we started looking at, Bryce is like, there's nothing else to do anywhere. Like, but I don't know. I just feel like,
I mean, the Black Hills are nice and there's the Badlands right there, but you'll get there.
Why not just fly there on points? Like,
I know what we're going to do. I'm going to chat with Maria about strategy to convince your P2 to fly separately. I'm going to tell Alexander that I'm on a different flight and she's going to get there. I'm going to be like, actually, I never left, but enjoy.
Yeah.
Live your dream.
Live your dream. Hey, see you in 2 hours when you get bored.
I'm just letting you know it's very underwhelming.
Okay.
Having
we'll have
been,
to chat.
You walk in, there's four faces on a hill, and that's it. And then
that's how I feel about Pisa, too. I was like, Pisa is like, swing by. Yep. If it's on your way, don't make a whole trip for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I think for our travel that's definitely been majorly impacted by points is just it gives you so much more freedom to do things while you're there, right? Because you got there for free. You're staying for free. Not necessarily free. The points cost money to get whatever, but you're not spending your physical money doing those things. So when you get to your destination, it really opens up the door because you didn't just spend, couple thousand dollars to fly there and stay in these hotels. That money can now go towards, let's have a crazy baller dinner. Let's go on that tour that maybe we wouldn't have gone on if, we paid all this money to come over here. All these different activities you can really explore now because, you have the money in your pocket that you save from the flights, the hotels, the all this, that, the other. And, it really just allows you to explore wherever you're going in kind of a much better way and way more relaxed about it too. Like you're not worried that, oh no, I already spent, $3,000 on this flight over here. I can't, justify buying that expensive steak or, we shouldn't get a bottle of wine with dinner because, X, Y, and Z, or like, we should skip that tour that we really want to do or whatever it might be that you want to do on your trip. It takes a little bit of the pressure off and it just makes it a lot more enjoyable while you're actually boots on the ground at your destination. It's really a game changer in that regard for us.
Yeah. Being on an award trip almost is the same feeling of like being in Las Vegas when you're like up gambling and like you're just walking around and you're just like, do I want to get steak? Yes, of course. Yeah. Like pulls out some of the winnings from your pocket.
Yeah.
It really is a great feeling.
Wouldn't know what that's like, but the trips are fantastic. Yeah.
Try enough times, you'll get to experience it maybe once. It's a rare,
good
rare
on
thing.
Good Vegas.
Anyone else thoughts on kind of before and after travel mindset before I ask you to kind of turn against your P2 lightly here and then we wrap up? Nope. All right. We wanted to turn on our P2s. That's what I'm hearing. Okay. So a couple questions here. The first, what do you wish your P1 did differently? Like, what frustration do they give you that you wish wasn't there? Or what are they not explaining well? Or where do they get short-tempered? Like, what would you kind of change about them from a points and miles perspective? Or I guess feel free to answer how you like. But yeah, I'm curious what you'd change.
From a purely organizational standpoint, I am extremely type A, hyper-organized. I think my grocery spreadsheet would bring most people to tears with how beautiful and well-organized and conditionally formatted it is. We have credit cards in every single room in our house. They are shoved in drawers. I sometimes find them in my socks. I have no idea why anything is in any given place. Organization is not Travis's strong suit. And so that is the one thing I would absolutely change. For me, I picture like a baseball trading card style binder with all of the little credit cards. Yes.
Oh,
amazing.
Nice.
I knew Ashley would come through with this because literally I'm just like, there must be a system. Surely we could create a system for this. But such system has not yet emerged. But maybe Ashley has the solution for us.
I'll
send you the link for the grocery store. It also has an archive of recipes.
Now. I love
it. It is AI powered now.
Yep, I've actually seen your grocery list for AI purposes, and like it's pretty impressive.
It's incredible.
Yep. So
I feel like beggars can't be choosers, so I have nothing I would change. It is frustrating because he does all of the points and miles stuff. Like when it is time to like book a girls trip or do something, like, I have to kind of be like, I don't know, I gotta ask Bryce. Like that, like, I don't love that, but it's kind of a trade-off. Like right now we're in the thick of three small children, and so we're really staying in our lanes, and maybe one day I'll learn the hobby a little bit more. But I have a guru, so.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I feel bad. You have to answer this with your partner.
Kind I was of like, yeah, this isn't fair. Too, I have so to like look at you.
Thank you for being kind. But yeah, anyone else? What do you wish your P1 did differently?
I would say that I feel like Matt's brain is always thinking about points and thinking about trips. So, you know, we plan this trip. We are on this amazing trip somewhere, and this just happened last month. Like, we're driving to a vineyard in Austria, and he's like, so where do you want to go next? So what do you think our fall should look like? And I'm like, we are on a trip. Can we enjoy the trip that we are on? But he's always got to know, like, what's that next trip? Like, what is our next points redemption going to be? Where are we going to go next? And it's just enjoy. It's okay. We don't have to always be booking a trip on points.
We are a no planning a new trip on the current trip family. We are a full enjoy the trip, enjoy the journey, but no planning until we get home.
That's a good rule. I don't follow it, but I like it.
I would. I don't really have many qualms. I think I'm very the opposite of Berea. I'm kind of a very go with the flow, whatever happens.
That's what happens. Travis is, Michael. That's the problem.
Well. It works.
The flow
for some
just puts
of
that credit card in your sock drawer. I mean, that's the flow.
So I would say my biggest thing is similar to Ashley. Like, Emily is always planning our next trip, always looking for awesome stuff to do, which I have no issue with. My biggest issue is I have to say no sometimes, which is tough because I have a limited amount of vacation days. I can't just be gallivanting around the world all the time. And she'll come to me and say, hey, do you want to go to insert awesome trip that I obviously want to go on? And I have to be the one to say no, which is my kind of biggest issue with this whole thing. Because I don't want to be the one to say, no, we can't go on, you know, this unbelievable vacation that you've just suggested because I simply don't have the days to take off. Would be my biggest qualm with the whole thing is like, yes, I want to go on these trips, but you know, we have all these other trips booked and you know my vacation schedule and I can't. So she makes me the bad guy, I guess, is my biggest qualm with her and this whole points thing, which isn't a bad thing because she lays out some great options and I just have to be like, oh man, I wish, but we already are doing these other amazing things. So it's kind of like having to pick and choose your battles with travels, I guess.
I've been there, Michael. And what I would recommend to you is if Emily wants to become an incredible cold water cave diver, you can send her on trips that you would not be interested in at all. Yes. And then you can do the fun trips with her.
But I'm interested in that.
Okay. Well, I can't help. Maybe, then I can help you.
Does Emily want to go to North Dakota and see Mount Rushmore? Because I know a travel partner that I could connect her with who's
and
on
Michael
this call.
Doesn't, so.
North Dakota is actually on the list because I only have three states left to visit out of the 50, and that's one of them. So I would go to North Dakota in a heartbeat, but South Dakota, I'm all set right now.
I'll go to North Dakota if you can find lie flat seats that take me there, right? You know,
it's not too far from us. I can get there in like an hour.
Wow.
All right. So the last kind of topic here that I'm ask each of you to weigh in on in here in a moment is we're going to call player two power moves. This is times when player two stepped up and saved the day, almost like the backup quarterback coming in for a player two, saving the season. You know, you had some insight, some recognition, some even maybe you found a word space where that actually made the difference and kind of saved the day. And as you're all thinking about that, myself included, I want to share a few stories like this that we got from our Facebook group when we posted this question. First one's from Carla. Carla Tibbetch says, we really got into points and miles in 2019. We were planning a big trip to Switzerland with another couple in 2020. My husband, who she says doesn't like being called a P2,
had the foresight to say, I'm hearing things about this virus in China that could happen. Let's make sure that all of our reservations are fully refundable. And he told the same thing to their friends. Carl ended up buying the refundable option with travel insurance. The friends did not and got all of her money back because that trip was canceled in 2020 for very obvious reasons that I think we all know. And player two saved the day. So thank you for sharing that, Carla. One more here. Dana says, my P2 Pixar hotels. I give him a list of options that fit within the points I want to spend or need to use. And he picks the one that with the best location. I'm a bit challenged when it comes to maps and directions. So he keeps me from booking a hotel on the opposite side of town just because it was a good deal. So Dana, Carla, thank you for sharing those. We hear stories like that all the time. But I'm curious for the guests here on the show today. Has there been a time when you as P2 kind of stepped in, saved the day, or had some sort of contribution like that that really ended up making a big difference?
The thing that I always tell people is that just because our P1s are absolute experts and rock stars in points and miles does not mean that they are inherently travel experts and know every single thing related to travel across the board. And so our perfect example of that and the story that I love to tell people is we took an incredible birthday trip to Bali for my birthday in 2022 and, you know, got on the flight. Everything was wonderful. We get to Indonesia. It's late at night. We're in the airport and we realize that we need to have cash to be able to pay for the visa on arrival to be able to enter the country. We did not travel with any cash because we're millennials and we don't carry cash. And we did not even bring our debit card with us. So we had no way to get any cash and we're stuck in the airport in Indonesia. So ultimately, you know, a little resistance from my P1 initially, but I had to save the day by stopping and asking some other tourists who were there if they would very creepily take some money out of the ATM that I would then immediately Venmo them for. So, you know, we're not immune to real life scams in addition to the like idea that everyone thinks that we're scamming them by introducing them to points and miles. But that was the one thing that I had to step in and save the day or we were not going to be able to enter in Indonesia.
You'd still be there right now, probably living out the terminal
nice
movie.
Nice job. Very nice.
Yeah. Nice work. I know one, Alexander, for you, I don't know if you remember this, but you caught that issue on a trip where we were repositioning to Chicago for the origin. And I booked a flight into Midway and we were flying out of O'Hare or vice versa. And didn't realize it until like the week before the trip when you'd asked me to like add flights to like the family calendar and forward you the itinerary. And you're like, how are we getting from Midway to O'Hare in 2.5 hours with kids and luggage? And I'm like, oh, good catch. I would have not noticed until we got there. And that would have been awful. Not quite stuck in an Indonesian airport forever awful, but not good. So
because that's kind of how we tag team. Like Bryce always, you know, he's the one booking the flight. But when it comes time to picking our seats, the configuration, he always consults me and is like, what do you think? Who, you know, who's the little one sitting with who, like, to come up with that logistics. And so we always like tag team that kind of stuff. I don't know. I'm still thinking about if there's anything. I cleaned up the bar from.
Yes, you did.
Did the flight attendant even interrupt Bryce's glass of Dom to alert him that had happened? Or
I had to send my 6-year-old at the time after trying very hard on my own. But I had a baby who couldn't sit up on her own. I had to clean up, throw up. And Bryce had been gone a really long time because he was talking to someone about points and miles way in the back.
Oh, yeah.
At the
bar.
That
was fun.
So I did have to send my 6-year-old. I said, go get daddy. Like, I need daddy to hold the baby so that I can do this. She asked the flight attendant for help. But he came back quickly.
I had spent like 10 minutes like educating this guy about points and miles in the bar of the A380. Kind of like, oh, if you fly this right often, like, you know, you can use these points. It's pretty easy to book business class. Like, you know, do you often fly business class? And he's like, no, I usually fly private. But this time, my plane couldn't go this far without stopping. And so I just stopped right away. I'm like, this isn't for you. Like, you know, we're not the same.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Different level.
Yeah. Yeah. How about the rest of you? Can you think of a time when you kind of stepped in and saved something or contributed in some way that was maybe not expected?
I don't know about like specific examples. I think similar to one of the stories that you mentioned from one of the people in the group, just I'm a little bit better directionally, very solid sense of direction, whereas Emily, maybe not so much. So getting us around. And then, as I mentioned, I could talk to a wall. So a lot of times on these trips, I'll end up, you know, meeting somebody and chatting with them, whether a local or somebody else on a trip. And I've had pretty good luck with getting recommendations for, you know, check out this place, whether it be something for this trip or, hey, if you guys are on this trip, you might really love, you know, X, Y, and Z. And we've taken that and parlayed that into some other trips. So I wouldn't say necessarily saving the day or anything like that, but definitely that's what I bring to the table is I do the recon and then also just getting us from A to B. Once we're landed, boots on the ground, I'm able to just kind of navigate and help us get where we need to go.
And of course, we already teased out your contribution in the first like 3 minutes, Michael, when you said, I want to go to Thailand.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
started the dominoes that led to Points of Miles. So you already have that in the bag.
There we go. I didn't even think of that, but yeah.
Michael, you're kind of the muse, you know, like.
Yep. Yep. Just create the desire and then let someone else fill in the blanks. I love
that's
it.
That's right.
Maria, Ashley, anything from you? Time to, you save the day.
I don't think I can top the Indonesia story.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Yep.
Mine is, I was thinking when Maria was saying that is I have been in the situation of we need cash and it's, we didn't bring cash. What are we going to do? And I have the debit card in my wallet because I know we should travel with one and Matt doesn't even have a debit card. So just being like, well, I have that. We're good. When that's just something that he doesn't think of. He'll think of all the other logistics, but that's something that he may not remember.
That's kind of my rule too, Ashley. Like, you need hand sanitizer, a tissue, a snack. Like, I have, that is all figured out. Bryce does the whole, like, travel planning. But my role is that we get there. And when we were stranded in Italy with no power, that was the first trip that I brought a flashlight. I had some weird feeling of, like, I need to bring, and I brought a flashlight. Now it's what I put in a suitcase, because you never know.
Hey, much like my insane grocery spreadsheet, I also have an equally insane packing list that is geared to all sorts of different...
You got to share that too.
I know, all sorts of different seasons, all sorts of different things that you might need, you may not need. Liquid IVs, you know, sub-zero thermals for Antarctica. It's got everything. So just, I'm happy to share.
I feel like I need that. I'm always asking Emily to like double and triple check my packs.
You got to do the packing list.
Constantly feel like I'm going to forget something. I'm going to forget something. So send that my way.
I had my closet organized and the gal was like, okay. I was like, well, those are my safari clothes. Like and you know, I had clothes from Iceland, like very specific gear. She's like, well, is this stuff you use often? And it was kind of neat to be like, well, actually, yeah. Like that is something. It's not just like a once in a lifetime thing. Like we're probably going to go back to places where safari clothes, man. Bryce and I vowed that we were only going to wear safari clothes from like here on out. They're so functional, so comfortable. But then we got back and we were like, okay, I look very out of context, but oh,
yep.
Loved it.
Yep. Anyone have any kind of final thoughts, pieces of wisdom, tidbits to share before we kind of bring this to a close?
We love you, Bryce. Thank you for all you have done.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks you've enriched our lives.
Letting us share our side of things, I suppose. It's, you know, good to give the P2s of the world a voice.
Yeah.
I still think that we should maybe have like a P2 support group, right? It's like you've got the insiders, which is primarily P1s. P2s need their own group.
Need their own group. We got to kick it off with an elevator pitch competition because that seems to be something, a situation that all of y'all have been in. Like, what is your go-to happy hour answer when it's like, so how do you do this, right? That would be a lot of fun.
Or like for the new P2s who are freaking out, like, hey, we've done this, you know, 14 years. No one's knocked on the door yet. So
I think that support group falls right under the P2 dating app in demand.
Yes.
Of what is the next thing that 10X Travel has to deliver?
Done. Yeah. We could do that. I would enjoy just popping in there and just seeing like what they say about the P1s.
We'd have a great idea for a new app though. You take destinations. So you do the like swipe left, swipe like the dating app. But you have one, like we had a baby name thing like this,
Bryce,
and it was
like,
so fun.
So you want to go?
You could like swipe and then you see what you and your partner both swiped as like the next
Tinder
destinations.
Yes.
One problem though, that's not always apparent to P2s, award space matters.
Well,
so
yeah.
So you could pick where you want to go. But if I see a Sabre flight to, you know, South Korea or something, it's like, no, let's go there.
So, that's true. I understand that.
Yeah. Well, I so appreciate all of you coming on here. I had fun kind of hearing more about your perspectives and ideas and fun stories and such. I was admittedly not familiar with most of them. So I feel like we could probably do a few more episodes like this and might do it at some point in the future. But for all of you listening, again, please share this with your P2s. Add in the comments, like what other things that we miss? What would you want to know from these P2s who are here or just in general? And what was kind of like the aha moment in this episode, if there was one that kind of caused you to realize, oh, okay, I'm not the only one who kind of feels that way. You know, my partner came to me and said, all I need is your social security number and your birthday and your address, and I'll do the rest. And I also thought that was weird, right? So share those in the comments or in the post here on Facebook, as well as your P2 power moves. We want to hear the other life-saving stories from your P2s and how they kind of saved your trip. So for our guests, again, thank you for putting us, or for coming on here and for sharing your stories. All of you are the real MVPs of this hobby. There's no way that we could do this without you and the trust that we kind of talked about that needed to happen to get to where we are now. You know, don't forget, everyone listening, we are here to help you make the most out of your points and miles. Best way to do that, other than like finding a P1 like an Emily or a Travis or something like that, would be to go and sign up for My10X. That's our free tool to help you manage all your points and miles in one place, as well as learn all the basics of the hobby. You can find that linked in the show notes or at my.10xtravel.com. We do actually have functionality within My10X to add a P2 to your account so that you don't have to pester them to always like log in, give the point totals and such. You just set it up one time. Everything is linked from that point forward. Makes it easy for one person to kind of manage it so that the other can focus on the many things that we just heard about P2 power moves. And be sure to check out 10X Travel Plus. That is our paid membership program that gives you a free award booking and two free 30-minute Zoom calls each year. You can use those, maybe bring your P2 on one of them and be like, all right, you know, Bryce, Travis, or like, please explain to P2 like this particular thing. Go. I've actually done that before. So use it however you want. It's a great way to level up in points and miles. We so appreciate everyone listening and watching today. You know, for all of us here at 10X Travel and for our P2s who graciously came on the show, this has been Take Off, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Bryce Conway. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Goodbye now.